Behind the pulpit here and to open up God's word. And so while I'm opening there, will you open up to Jeremiah chapter 38 in your Bibles? Jeremiah chapter 38. There was one other interest that I would like to propose to you about Camp Northfield, and then I'll be done talking about camp and going straight into God's word, and that's our summer staff. Will you be in prayer for our summer staff? And if you're interested, or if you know of anyone that may be interested in working as a support staff member, or even as a counselor or junior counselor, along those lines, our support staff, we hire as young as 14. I say hire. They necessarily volunteer, and at the end of the week, we give them a small stipend. And so it is a ministry for them, where they get to work alongside the campers, and they get to work in the kitchen, they get to work in the dish room, they get to work to provide for the needs that occur on a daily basis at camp. And so, again, we hire as young as 14 up to age 18 for our support staff, and then we hire counselors to come on and work 24 hours a day, 6 days with campers. And so it is a delight to work with these young people. And whenever I was interviewing back 3 years ago in February, Pastor Ralph Verdue, the chairman of the board, still remains the chairman of the board, he said, working at camp is like being the ultimate youth pastor. And he's very true with that. And I was a youth pastor before coming here. I was a youth pastor at Harvest Baptist Church in Georgetown, Kentucky, and moved from there to Massachusetts. It was a little bit of a change. And but God was with us. And it is true. It is like being ultimate youth pastor. All right, let's open up our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 38. I love the book of Jeremiah, not just because my name is Jeremy, but there's so much in this book. And Jeremiah was quite the man. He was quite the man of God, where all of his life he preached, he poured out his heart. He's called the weeping prophet. He wrote an entire book called Lamentations. He lamented and cried over the people of Israel, and not a single convert. But yet, this man loved God and he loved people. And here we come across Jeremiah chapter 38, where they want to throw him in prison. They actually want to kill him, but thrown in prison will suffice for the people. Why? Why do they want to kill him? Because of the message Jeremiah brought from the Lord. Jeremiah was the man of God. He was prophesying what was to come, and what was to come for the nation of Israel was captivity. And so Jeremiah is prophesying to them and preaching to them and saying, if you will simply turn over yourselves to the Babylonians, then God will protect you. Just go quietly. Go in peace. Do not stay here in Jerusalem. It's not safe here, because if you stay here, they're going to come and they're going to slaughter you. They're going to ruin this land. They're going to destroy you. So go in peace. God will protect you in the nation of Babylon. Just go. What did the nation of Israel do? They wanted to kill Jeremiah. They wanted to say, Jeremiah, that's not from God. That comes from Nebuchadnezzar. That's where that comes from. You just want us to go over there because you do want us to be slaughtered. And they would not listen to the voice of Jeremiah. So over and over and over, from chapters 1 of Jeremiah all the way to chapter 25, Jeremiah is preaching sermons about this, and preaching and pouring out his heart. And the Bible doesn't tell if it's one after another, or if there was a few weeks, a few months, a few years in between. We can only speculate. But sermon after sermon after sermon, Jeremiah was preaching to this people about going and living in Babylon for 70 years. This is your punishment for your sin. Why did they deserve this punishment? For the idolatry that they brought into the nation of Israel. For the adultery, for the fornication, for the Baal worship, for all of this, God was very displeased. And for that, they needed to be chastened in the land of Babylon. So that brings us up to Jeremiah chapter 38, where we come across an individual. And this man, his name is Ebed-Melech. And he is an interesting character in the Bible. He's not mentioned like the Apostle Paul. He's not mentioned like Moses. He never wrote a passage of Scripture. He never once was recognized by a title like Jeremiah. Jeremiah has a whole title of a book named after him. But this one small character, mentioned only here just a few times, but yet with that, it says so much about him. So we're going to look at this man. We're going to do just a small character study on the man, Ebed-Melech. So this morning, we're going to learn four lessons from Ebed-Melech. During this time where the nation of Israel was needed to go into captivity, where Jeremiah was preaching to them and said, just simply go, out comes this small glimmer of light, the man, Ebed-Melech. He wasn't a convert of Jeremiah. He helped Jeremiah. He helped the man of God accomplish his purpose. So let's look at this man. Beginning in verse number 1 of Jeremiah chapter 38, let's give a little bit of background what's going on. Then Shephatiah, the son of Maadon, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Uchal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Melchiah, they heard the words of Jeremiah that was spoken unto all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hear the words from the Lord, listen as it says, he that remaineth in the city, talking about Jerusalem, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth unto the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live. Verse 3, thus saith the Lord, this city of Jerusalem shall surely be given into the hand of the king of the Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man, talking about Jeremiah, this is all the words up to this point were from Jeremiah, from the Lord. And the princes, they wanted nothing to do with this. Let's continue reading. Let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. So this wasn't the first time that the people of Israel were mad at Jeremiah. Hold your place here in Jeremiah 38. We will be back. But turn with me just 12 chapters back to Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah chapter 26, and look with me in verse number 11. Here in Jeremiah 38, they actually followed through with their promise. But look with me in verse number 11. Let's begin reading. Then spake the priests and the prophets, Jeremiah 26, verse 11. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man, talking about Jeremiah, is worthy to die. For he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and all to the people, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city, all the words that ye have heard. So Jeremiah, he's saying, everything that I have said came from the Lord. Nothing that I said came from my own voice, from my own heart. This is not what I would conjure up. This is what the Lord desires for this people. Verse 13, therefore now amend your ways. Repent is what he's saying, and your doings. And obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will repent him of the evil that he has promised against you, pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he hath spoken unto us the name of the Lord our God. Do you see the contrast between that verse and then now in Jeremiah chapter 38, where the people, they've had enough of Jeremiah? Do you see the hatred of this man? So here in Jeremiah 38, they finally said, you know, This man, he's not seeking the welfare of this people. He's doing all this because he's working with the Babylonians. That's what's wrong with Jeremiah. He's actually a spy. He's here, and he desires Israel to just be destroyed. That's what's wrong with Jeremiah. So we got to get rid of him. We got to throw him in jail. We got to do something with him. Now let's pick back up with this story, Jeremiah 38 and verse number 5. Then Zedekiah the king said, "Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you." The king says, I'm staying out of this. I'm not getting involved with this. The princes and the people, they hate Jeremiah. My hands are clean. Who does that remind you of? So here again, he just throws his hands up. And this king is a weak king, and he does not want to listen to the voice of the Lord. He does not want to listen to the voice of Jeremiah. So he gives in to this peer pressure, which is another lesson in and of itself. Verse number 6. Then these princes, they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. That's what they did with Jeremiah. They did not even give him water to drink. So what did they think in letting Jeremiah? All they did with cords, they let him down slowly. It's not like they threw him in there. Oh, they let him down slowly, but we're not going to give him any water to drink. What did they think was going to happen to Jeremiah? They thought he was going to die. And so again, there, they thought, well, we're just going to put him in prison. We're not going to give him any water to drink, but he's in prison. They killed him. They wanted to kill him, is what they wanted to do. But they did not, because again, we're going to do a character study on this one man named Ebed-Melech. So now we finally pick up to verse number 7, where this man is mentioned. So again, his name is only mentioned just a few times, but yet this man had compassion. This man had purpose. This man had thoughtfulness. And so as we look at these verses, let us think of these four lessons of Ebed-Melech and then apply it to our life. Apply it to how we interact with one another. Apply it to how we interact with the world, with how we interact with even the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is with us today. So let's take these four lessons and apply it to ourselves. As we pick up with the first lesson, we're going to read verse number 7, and this is the first lesson. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin. So verse number 7 shows us this, that Ebed-Melech was a servant, was a servant. The fifth core value of Camp Northfield is service. That's what our purpose is. Our purpose is to evangelize the lost and to promote Christian maturity. But also with that comes service. We're here to serve you as Latham Bible Baptist Church. If you all need anything, Camp Northfield is there to come alongside you and to serve you, to help you along with that. If Northfield Baptist Church in Northfield, Massachusetts needs anything, Camp Northfield is there to lend a hand and is there to assist. We're there to serve. We're there to come alongside. And that is one of our purposes. Now, what is our individual purpose? As Christians, what is our individual purpose of being servants? You as individuals are to serve Latham Bible Baptist Church. You are the church. This is the meeting place. I saw a sign one time. It said the meeting place of such and such church. So this here, Latham Bible Baptist Church, is the meeting place of Latham Bible Baptist Church. Because you are the church. You are the people that make up this great congregation. And you're servants. You're helping one another. You're coming alongside. You're aiding one another. And here, what did Ebed-Melech do? He was a servant. He was a servant of this king. He was renamed to be Ebed-Melech. That's what his actual name. Ebed means servant, and Melech means king. So you put these two together: Ebed, servant; Melech, king, servant of the king. This is a Hebrew word that means servant of the king. But you also notice that Ebed Melech was Ethiopian. This is not an Ethiopian name, but yet he was from Ethiopia. So if anybody had the right to be bitter, it was Ebed Melech. He was pulled from his own country. We can't put words in his mouth, but I bet he wasn't very happy with being in a land that was not his own. And that happened in the nation in the Middle East, that they brought in servants, they brought in slaves. It doesn't say if he was from a slave family, we're not certain. It looks like he was well taken care of, but yet he was not from this land. I'm not sure what his original name was, but the Bible calls him Ebed-Melech, that servant of the king. He did not even have an identity. His identity was stripped away from him, and instead he was called the servant of the king. So if that happened to us, what would our reaction be? My name was now no longer Jeremy Charles Lozier. My name is now servant of the president. Same principle. I would then live in the White House. I'd be at the beck and call of the president. I no longer have my identity. I no longer have the middle name of my grandfather. My grandfather's name was Charles. And so that is stripped away from me. Instead, I now have a new name called Servant of the President. Let's put ourselves in that situation. I don't think I'd be very happy. But yet, Ebed-Melech, his character came out even with this, that he was still the servant of the king, but yet he still had compassion, as we will see in the story. 2 Timothy chapter 2, you don't need to turn there, but it says this, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." So in order for us to then be called a servant of the king, of the great high priest king, Jesus Christ and God the Father, we are to not to strive. We're to be gentle unto all men. That really means all men. That means everybody. That means even my neighbor that sends his dog on my lawn all the time. Yes, we're to be servants even to those folks that we may not see eye to eye with. We're to be gentle and patient to all men. Here, Ebed-Melech was. He was gentle to all men. He was gentle to this king. He served this king with passion. He served his king with respect, as we'll see in verse number 8 and verse 9. But he was an Ethiopian. He was a servant of the king. He was taken from his homeland and was made to be a servant. We know this because verse number 8 and 9, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, "My lord the king, these men have done evil in the sight in all that have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from thence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die." So here again, he addresses this Ethiopian, the eunuch. A eunuch in this time they were very faithful. Eunuchs were known and were considered remarkable for their fidelity to their masters. So he was made to be this man that was only going to be a servant. And this same word, eunuch, is also throughout Scripture, also known as officer or chamberlain or eunuch or official. So it appears that through even this title, he had respect through this land. He was with the king, and he was more or less had the official standard in this kingdom. So he seemed like he was revered. We know that because he addresses the king. Again, don't miss it. It says in verse number 8, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house. So he actually left the king's house. Don't miss this next part. And spake to the king, saying. So he addressed the king that was sitting at the gate of Benjamin. You don't do this in this time period, addressing the king. Do you remember what was going to happen to Esther when she was going to address the king? Even his own wife, you just don't simply address the king without having a meeting set up. And so we know that Ebed-Melech, He was determined to get his mission and to get his vision and to get his purpose across to the king. And he was willing to put himself in danger just by simply addressing the king when he was sitting at the gate of Benjamin. So this was out in public is what this was talking about. The king wasn't in his own quarters in a private place. No, he was sitting at the gate of Benjamin. We could probably maybe think that maybe there were some other elders of the city around. And picture with me now, there's maybe a whole group of men that are high ranking. And here comes servant of the king, Ebed-Melech, and says this in front of all these other people. You can't do this to Jeremiah. So he was very bold. This servant of the king was very bold. And so, again, he risked himself just by simply addressing the king because he was an Ethiopian. He was a eunuch, and he was of the king's house, and he spoke publicly to the king. So this lesson that we learn from Ebed-Melech is for us to be a servant. This first lesson is for us to put ourselves aside and to put the Lord Jesus Christ first and to be a servant. Who do we be a servant to? To one another. To the leadership of Latham Bible Baptist Church. To be a servant to the lost. To your neighbors. To one another. As the Bible says in 2 Timothy again, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Be patient. That's what the servant of the Lord is to do. As the servant of the king, Ebed-Melech, what he was to do, he was to serve the king of this earth at this time, the king of Israel, serve the king of Judah. So ought we to serve the king of our heavenly Father. We ought to be a servant. Let's continue going down through this story. Verse number 8 said something at the end. Verse number 10, as we continue with the story, then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So first off, the first lesson we learn from Ebed-Melech is that he was a servant. The second lesson we learn is that he was compassionate. He was compassionate. He was burdened for the prophet of God. So ought we to be compassionate for the lost and dying world. He was compassionate. He says this in verse number 9. My lord the king, these men have done evil unto Jeremiah. They let him down into this dungeon where he is likely to die for hunger. So he was compassionate. He was burdened about his circumstance. He was burdened, he had compassion on Jeremiah because he knew that he was going to die. And if he did not be removed out of that dungeon, he was going to die. He was not going to live for much longer than a few days. We can go longer without food than we can with water, but Scripture tells us that they did not even give Jeremiah any water. He had the mire, but you can't eat mire. Mire, if you want to know what that is, look that up, and it's not a good thing. Mire is not something you want to dine on. And so this is where Jeremiah was, and he was, and Ebed-Melech was compassionate about that. And as Christians, we're to be servants, but also as Christians, we're to be compassionate servants, to be burdened about circumstances of one another, to be burdened about the conditions of one another. If we want to be like Ebed-Melech, we'll take this lesson and then apply it to our lives as well, to be compassionate. We ought to be compassionate. First lesson, he was a servant. We ought to be servants as well. Second lesson is this, that we ought to be compassionate. We ought to be compassionate. The third lesson is this, is that he is to be thoughtful. The third lesson we can learn from Ebed-Melech is that he is thoughtful. Let's continue reading this story. Verse number 11. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags and let them down by cords into the dungeons to Jeremiah. So this thoughtfulness came from Ebed-Melech taking the servants, the other men that the king said, we'll go with him. He sent with him 30 individuals. Why do you think the king sent 30 people with Ebed-Melech? Just a thought. Anybody have a clue why 30 people? That seems a lot to pull out one man out of the prison. He wasn't that heavy. To protect him, yes, as protection. Why? Because the people hated Jeremiah. And so they were going to come after Ebed-Melech for trying to rescue Jeremiah out of the prison. So the king says, this is going to be dangerous, Ebed-Melech. So here, take 30 men with you, and they're going to be there to protect you from the princes and the people that still want to kill Jeremiah. So again, Ebed-Melech being thoughtful, okay, I'm going to take those 30 men with me. I'm not going to do this by myself. That's foolish for me to do. So he was thoughtful. Other aspects of his thoughtfulness came when he went under the treasury and took old cast clouts and old rotten rags. You say, what does that have anything to do with being thoughtful? Well, here, he thought ahead and said, okay, they let down Jeremiah with cords into the prison. So it's going to be a far way. And Jeremiah, he's been there for a couple days. We're not sure how long he was there, whether this was immediate, whether this was a few hours. But maybe Jeremiah was weak from being in this mire, from being in this dirty, nasty pit for however long he was there, whether it was days, whether it was, we know it wouldn't have been weeks. He may not have survived, but he was there for some time, is what we can gather from the scripture. And so he didn't want to hurt Jeremiah. He didn't send him down a rope with a noose on the end and said, here, put this around your neck. I'm taking you out of here. No, he went and got old cloths, old things that Jeremiah could put under his armpits and hang on so the rope wouldn't be sharp and possibly even cut him. So here it's neat how the scripture even gives that close of detail of Ebed-Melech's thoughtfulness. So let's continue reading. Old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So he's speaking down to Jeremiah and telling him exactly what you need to do, because we're bringing you out of this pit, and we want to do it gently. We want to do it softly. We want to do it so not to injure the prophet of God. And so now let's apply this to our lives as well as a lesson from Ebed-Melech of being compassionate, of being a servant, of being thoughtful. How thoughtful are we with one another? Do we do things out of haste without thinking about how that's going to affect one another? We may do it because that's what we feel God wants us to do. Ebed-Melech felt that God wanted him to bring him out of the pit. But he stopped for a minute. He thought, okay, Jeremiah's condition, he's kind of a weak man. He's been there for a little bit, and it's going to take a lot to pull him out of this mire. Because if they just would have thrown a rope down there and started pulling, he's sunken so far deep down into this mire that it's going to take a lot of pressure to pull him out. You've ever encountered sinking sand? Or at camp, we have right on the edge of the creek that goes down through, a little bit of water hits up on it, and if you step down in it, you usually lose a shoe. You're not going to retrieve that shoe either, because it's already down into that filth. So that's what happens. So the thing of this illustration, when you're stepping down into it, and now you're pulling up, and your leg starts hurting, right? And well, imagine your entire body in a place like that. It's going to take a lot of pressure. So here, Ebed-Melech being very thoughtful, wanting to get the right amount of clothes, the right amount of cloths, and to put them in places where Jeremiah would not get hurt, he was thoughtful. He didn't just rush right into the activity and without thinking. He thought ahead. He didn't go visit Jeremiah first and says, okay, Jeremiah, what do you need? Jeremiah said, get me out of here. No, he went and thought ahead and said, no, this is what Jeremiah is going to need. He took initiative, and he was thoughtful with the whole process. He thought the whole situation out in his mind before he went and rescued Jeremiah out of this pit. So he was thoughtful, he was compassionate, and he was a servant. All this because of this, let's finish reading this story, and then we'll gather a few more lessons from it, a few more points. Verse 13, so they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Verse 14, then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him, into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? Jeremiah knew what the message of God was already going to be. And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? You're not going to listen to me, Zedekiah. But Zedekiah makes him a promise in verse 16. Then Zedekiah the king swears secretly unto Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I'm not going to kill you. Just tell me, what did God say? As the Lord liveth, that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of those men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. Then Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. You can continue reading through this story, but it's just going back and forth with Jeremiah and Zedekiah. Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord said. Zedekiah backs away and says, we can't do that. I'm afraid of the Jews. They're going to kill me just as much as the Babylons are going to kill me. And Jeremiah says, no, they're not going to kill these. Peacefully go to the Babylonians, and God will protect you. What do you think Zedekiah did? He didn't listen to Jeremiah. And you can see through the remainder of this chapter as well as chapter 39. Let's pick up with chapter 39 of Jeremiah as we finish out this last lesson of Ebed-Melech. But as you read through the rest of Jeremiah 38, Ebed-Melech's name was never mentioned again. Here, this man, he pops on the scene. He has a vision, he has passion, he has thoughtfulness. He's a servant, and then he kind of just goes away, and we never really see him again until chapter 39. But let's begin reading the first part of this chapter. It says this, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, so some time has passed, in the tenth month came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th month of Zedekiah, the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even Nergal, Sharezer, and then there's a few lists of names as you continue reading. But here, so we know that Jerusalem was taken. It's gone. It no longer belongs to Israel. It no longer belongs to Zedekiah, who was a king at that time. And so what happened to Ebed-Melech? Where did he go? What did he get taken up with the king? As you'll see in verse number 6, the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before the king's eyes. If he slew the sons of Zedekiah, did he also slay the servants? What happened to Ebed-Melech? Verse number 17, let's pick up there. So we know this. Ebed-Melech was a servant. Ebed-Melech was compassionate. Ebed-Melech was thoughtful. Because of those three lessons, we can learn this last lesson. You can be rewarded. God will reward you for your faithfulness. He did with Ebed-Melech. Verse number 17, the Bible says this, but I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given unto the hand of the men whom thou art afraid. I'm sorry, back up to verse 16. I missed this part. Go and speak. This is God talking to Jeremiah. Go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my word upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. So this is God saying, I'm going to follow through with my promises. The nation of Israel is going to be taken into captivity. Verse 17, but I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust. Thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. That Old Testament word trust is very much the same as the New Testament word faith. Eben Melech had faith. Eben Melech had trust, knowing that God will protect him. And it says here, because thou hast put thy trust in me. Eben Melech, you had faith. You had the trust in God. Who else in Scripture had this trust? Turn with me, if you will, as we are wrapping this message up to Psalm 37, verse 40. The 37th Psalm. Eben Melech had the trust. He had the faith to be a servant. Do you have that same faith? Do you have that same trust that Eben Melech had? 37, verse number 40. The Bible says this, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him. God wants to do that with you as well. God wants to save you from the enemy. God wants you to be saved from the hurt of this world. But in return, God asks us to be servants. God asks us to serve him. God, in doing so, God asks us to serve one another. Just like 2 Timothy, verse 2, Paul was charging him, saying, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Timothy, you must not strive with one another. The other pastors that you're going to encounter in your life, do not strive with them. The people that's going to come through those doors on a daily basis, be gentle unto them. Timothy, be ready to teach them. Timothy, be ready to be patient to them. That's what we ought to do as servants, just like Timothy, just like Ebed-Melech was. He was a servant. And if God, if we desire to reap that reward from God because we trust in him, we'll also be compassionate and we'll also be thoughtful. So again, from Jeremiah chapter 38 and 39, we can learn these four lessons from Ebed-Melech. Number one, to be a servant. Number two, to be a compassionate servant. Number three, to be a thoughtful, compassionate servant. And then lastly, we'll be a rewarded, compassionate, thoughtful servant. But that's not it in this message. That message was for Christians. For us today that believe that we're born again, we're saved, we know we're on our way to heaven. But maybe this morning you're not sure of your relationship with God Almighty. There's also the gospel message found in this passage, and it's great. Think of this. As the princes took Jeremiah and put him into the miry pit, so has sin placed us in the pit of iniquity and unbelief. In Psalm 40, verse 2, scriptures tell us, he brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and established my going. So if you're saved today, God took you out of this pit full of sin and put you on a firm foundation known as Jesus Christ. That's the illustration for the gospel. Also, as Ebed-Melech sought to rescue Jeremiah from the pit and save him from the death of starvation, so Christ has died and acted for us to deliver us from the wrath to come. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible tells us, and to wait for his Son from the heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So Ebed-Melech rescued Jeremiah from that death, so has Christ acted for us and delivered us from the wrath to come. The third gospel message is this, as Ebed-Melech acted according to the word of the king, so Christ has acted according to the word of God. We know that because of the gospel of John chapter 17, verse number 4, John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, talking to his heavenly Father. Jesus Christ acted according to the will of God the Father. It's God the Father who loves us, who sent his only begotten Son for us. Another lesson is this. As Ebed-Melech provided means to rescue Jeremiah, talking about the old cast clouts and the old rotten rags, so the Lord has decreed those that who are saved shall bear his message of salvation to others. John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse number 21. The Bible says, Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. So Ebed-Melech took this upon himself to go out and rescue Jeremiah. So ought we. We're to take this message ourselves and to go out and spread this gospel message to the unbelievers. As Jesus Christ commanded us here, Father sent me, and so now I am sending you. As Jeremiah was saved from the miry pit and acted according to the instructions that were given him, so are we saved by doing as the Lord directs. John chapter 5 and verse number 24. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Talking about Jesus is the only way for salvation. Two more lessons, two more gospel messages are found here. As Jeremiah was assured by the king that he should not be put to death, so the Lord assures us that we shall never perish. I'm talking about in John chapter 10, verse 28. John 10, 28. And I give unto thee eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Once we're saved, we're always saved. No one's ever going to be able to pluck us out of the Savior's hand. We're always going to be there. We are in his hand and will remain there for eternity. The Lord Jeremiah was assured by the king that he should never be put to death. So the Lord assures us that we will never, ever again perish. Then the last gospel message is this. As Ebed-Melech was rewarded because of his trust in the Lord, so all those who trust in Christ are rewarded with spiritual blessings in him. And the last passage I'm turning to this morning is the book of Ephesians. And we're going to close with this last message of hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Everything we have is a blessing from the Lord. And if we're servants, God promises us as well that he's going to give us an abundance of blessings. The blessing may just be simply as you getting to help one another, and that's a blessing in and of itself. You go to receive a blessing, in return you are a blessing. Let us always remember that as well. Let us remember the story of Ebed-Melech. Again, those four simple truths from this. Number one, he was a servant. Number two, he was a compassionate servant. Number three, he was a thoughtful, compassionate servant. And then lastly, he was a rewarded, thoughtful, compassionate servant. Let's bow our heads in prayer. As you're bowing your heads in prayer, thinking of this lesson, thinking of not even sure if you can even be a blessed servant of God because you do not even have that relationship with God Almighty, think of the gospel message. Have you been pulled out of the miry pit? Have you been placed on the rock, as Psalm 40 tells us? Maybe you've never taken that step of faith that Ebed-Melech did. Maybe you need to get that settled in your heart before you can even move on to being a servant of the Lord. You want to move from being a child of wrath to being called a son of God. Maybe that's your reason for being here today. Don't let another day go by where that escapes you. Today is the day of salvation. Or maybe you're here this morning and this message spoke to your heart like it did mine about becoming a better servant. Let us learn these lessons from Ebed-Melech as we close in prayer. Let us apply this message to our hearts, we pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the stories that are found in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament about how each and every character in the Bible is there for a reason. We know Ebed-Melech was here in the Bible, even if it's for this one message. But Lord, we know that this message has touched so many people's lives over the years. And Lord, we ask that it will touch the people here in this congregation, that they'll take this truth and go back and read Jeremiah 38 and 39 and see for themselves that you want us to be servants, like you wanted Ebed-Melech to be a servant. Father, we ask for your blessing upon this time. We thank you for this church and for this family. I ask for your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.